إن الحمد لله رب العالمين نستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فاعلموا إن خير الكلام كلام الله وخير هدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثات بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. We praise Allah, seek His help and His forgiveness, believe in Him and place our trust in Him and Him alone. Whomsoever Allah guides, no one can misguide him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah leaves to the error of his own choices, there is none that can guide him after Allah. I openly declare that none is deserving worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I openly declare that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his final prophet and messenger for all time to come. Tonight, we would like to spend a few moments talking about an important link in the growth, the development, and advancement of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The lecture has been titled, Message to Our Muslim Youth. And indeed, this is a message that hopefully will reach not only the youth of our gathering, but also the older youth amongst us who used to be youth, those who are responsible for raising our youth. For indeed, we are in a race. We are like in a relay race. And for our young boys and girls who are here tonight, you are in this race with us. Allah has commanded us to strive as in a race towards all that is good. And I characterize this race as a relay race because we, the older generation of Muslims, we have run our leg in the relay. You know, in a relay race, how many of you have ever seen or watched or even participated in a relay race? It's composed of different legs, maybe four sets of runners on the same team. And one runner runs his leg, and then he passes the baton on to the next runner, and then he runs as fast as he can and passes the baton on until they get the baton to the finish line. Well, those of us who are getting older and getting closer to the makbir, it's time for us to get ready to pass the baton to our young Muslim boys and girls, so that they will continue this race towards the finish line, fi sabilillah. But in order for them to be able to run their part, to carry that baton sufficiently so that it doesn't slip out of their hand, so that they don't stumble on the track, we as adult Muslim men and women, mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters, we have to do our part to help them to prepare for this great responsibility that is to lead the Ummah in the years to come. When we're no longer here, when we have returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we want to hopefully benefit tonight from our talk in a way that inshallah ta'ala, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and radiallahu anhum used to benefit in their gatherings. They would say, let us come together to increase our iman for an hour or so. And I pray that from our gathering that, inshallah ta'ala, bi'ithnillah, our iman will have increased in some small way, inshallah, that Allah will increase in us the muhabba for him and for his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and for one another, that we have to have a greater love for each and every one of us as Muslims, inshallah ta'ala. When we talk about the role of our Muslim youth in this ummah, I have to refer to Allah's book of Quran, Surah Al-Luqman, wherein Allah has conveyed to us, and I'll give the English translation. And remember when Luqman said to his son, when he was advising him, "O my son, do not join in worship others with Allah. Verily, joining others in worship with Allah is indeed a great dhulm, a great oppression, a great wrong. And we have enjoined on man to be dutiful and good to his parents, for his mother bore him in weakness and hardship upon weakness and hardship, and his weaning was in 2 years. Give thanks to me," Allah says, "and to your parents, for unto me is the final destination. But if they both strive with you to make you join in worship with me others besides me, that which you have no knowledge of, then do not obey them, but behave with them in ways that are kindly, and follow the path of him who turns to me in repentance and in obedience. Then to me will be your return, and I shall tell you what you used to do." For our Muslim youth, who are charged with the responsibility of carrying forth the mission of Dawat al-Islamiyah here in the Western Hemisphere, we have some wonderful examples to look towards in order to give us the enthusiasm and the courage to carry out this noble obligation. For when we look back to the seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find that some of the greatest companions of our beloved Prophet and Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam were no more than youth, young boys and young girls who loved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and who were willing to sacrifice even at their young age of little understanding. We call to mind the great companion to whom we are forever indebted to for his work in gathering the Mus'haf, Zayd bin Thabit, radiallahu anhu, who was no more than 6 or 8 years old when he met Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And his mother brought him to the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, wanting him to be a part of this great mission. But he was too young to wield the sword. He was too young to go into the field of jihad. So Allah blessed him with an even greater calling to become the scribe, the secretary of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Zayd bin Thabit, young boy. Allahu Akbar. Abdullah ibn Umar, mashaAllah. The list goes on. Abdullah ibn Abbas, the alim of our ummah, the scholar of our ummah. This should tell us, brothers and sisters, that our youth have a role in our community, in the direction of our community, and we cannot minimize that effort. And alhamdulillah, it is so good to see your community actively involving your youth, because so many communities, not only in Europe perhaps, but certainly in the United States, our youth are being left to the sideline. And they're being left to the wolves of the Kufr society. They are a trust and a treasure that have been given to us, that we as adult Muslims, mothers and fathers, are going to be held accountable for. Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, he has said, "Kullukum ra'in وكلكم عن مسؤول عن رعيته. That each one of you, each one of us, we are a governor, we are a shepherd, and we will be asked how we took care of that responsibility. Our children are a responsibility. And it is one of their rights upon us as parents, as Muslims, that we provide them with an Islamic environment that will give them the opportunity to grow up to be strong, committed, dedicated Muslims, worshiping no one but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose faith cannot be bought off, whose belief and way of life cannot be compromised. So we owe them that. I would like to share with you a very beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that is a benefit to young and old alike. Very beautiful hadith, wherein it is narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the English meaning of which is, take care of five before five. Take care of five before five. That is, take care of your youthfulness, your young age, before you become old. For our young boys and girls, you are in the precious years, formative years of your life, where you are beginning to grow up and face the world, see the world as you've never seen it before. And you are being given the Islamic value system, the values of the Muslim, by which to interact with the world around you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, take care of your youth before you become old. Because there's going to come a time when you'll be too old to do the things that you can do now in your youth. MashaAllah ta'ala. Where are our mothers who used to take their young boys to the masjid to sit at the feet of the ulama so that they will memorize the Quran even before they start primary school, packing them a lunch and taking them to the masjid, leaving them there from Fajr until Dhuhr? This is how many of the ulama, the early scholars of our ummah, came about the journey of acquiring Islamic knowledge, because their mothers were dedicated to the cause of Islam. They realized that it was utmost important to take their children so that they would get that foundation and knowledge of Quran first and foremost, even before they go out and start learning math and sciences and languages. They will learn Quran and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So take care of your youth before you become old. Memorize Quran now, young brothers and sisters, because believe me, the older you get, the more difficult it is to memorize. If you do it now, alhamdulillah, it will be with you for the rest of your days, inshallah ta'ala. If you revise it, if you remember, recite it. The Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, he went on to say, take care of your health before your sickness. Take care of your health before your sickness. Today, the health industry is a multi-billion dollar industry. Every hour of the day, you can virtually see new products coming out on the market. How to improve your health. How to, you see, control your weight. How to control your physique. How to become more pleased with how you look by buying this machine or that machine. Taking this nutritional aid or this nutritional supplement. Why do they do this? People out jogging before the sun comes up with their dogs, hoping that this will extend their life. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Tell them to make dua, make supplication. That is the only thing that will extend their life. Why do they do this? Do they do this because they love Allah, or they do it because they love the dunya? They do it because they love the dunya. The Muslim, we take care of our health so that we can make more ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If anything, we want to have good health so that we can worship Allah more, so that we can be prepared for the jihad inshallah ta'ala. so that we can do more da'wah and invite more people to Islam. Not so that we can live longer. That's not going to make us live longer. Taking nutritional supplements. Take care of your health before your sickness. MashaAllah. There's a very wonderful saying of Rasulullah ﷺ wherein Allah has promised, and I'm paraphrasing, that if we become ill or overtaken by the decree of Allah with an illness that prevents us from doing good deeds, that prevents us from making salah, that prevents us from making qiyamul layl or reading Quran, maybe you might lose your sight in later years. You might become paralyzed and you can't make the rak'ah like we normally do in our good health. The Prophet ﷺ said that he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will bless you with the record of those good deeds, even though you're not able to do them because you did them when you were young, when you were healthy. So practice the good habits now. Come to the masjid with your parents. Pray with them at home. Read Quran. Memorize Quran. Recite to them. MashaAllah ta'ala. Our home should be an environment where everyone is dedicated to being a student of this deen, learning Islam. It's not just the father's responsibility as the imam of the home. It's the mother's responsibility also to impart Islamic knowledge to the children. So take care of your youth before your old age. Take care of your health before your sickness. Take care of your wealth before you become poor. Our young boys and girls, there's going to come a time when you have your first job. You go out and you'll be making a little bit of change, maybe minimum wage. What are you going to do with it? You're going to use it to buy the latest fads? Or are you going to be wanting to give zakah and sadaqah? You're going to want to go out and waste it, or will you use it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Wealth, alhamdulillah, is something that is beneficial if we use it for the sake of Allah. But that's not our sole aim in this life. So if Allah blesses us with wealth, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, it's already been decreed. If we don't have it, mashallah, we are still grateful to Allah for a little or for a lot. Take care of your wealth before you become poor. Meaning, you give sadaqah. If you have the nisab, the minimum amount of wealth over and above your minimum needs, then you pay zakat on that wealth. Fourthly, we must take care of our free time before we become occupied. Take care of our free time. Boys and girls, don't let your time become occupied with things that will cause you to forget Allah. I believe in America, we are plagued with something that I don't know how much of a problem it is here in the UK. But in America, we've seen the craze of video games like overtake our youth to the point where it becomes almost another addiction. Yes, I'm sure how many of our young children here, boys and girls, y'all play video games, right? Have you ever played it so much that when your parents call you, you don't hear them? Now, you may not answer that, but I bet you if I ask them, they will say, yeah, I know what you're talking about. You know, it becomes an addiction. And I believe Allah knows best, but I think this is a way that the Japanese are getting back at America for dropping the atomic bombs. Allah knows best. But if this is correct, they have really done a masterful job. Because in any home you go to today, you will find some type of toy, electronic toy, Xbox or PlayStation or whatever, Super Nintendo, 1, 2, 3, and 4. It's like, you know, the first generation comes out in 6 months and then the next one is out 6 months later and the children become addicted to it. So their free time becomes occupied now. They have no time to learn Quran, no time to learn about the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because it's not excited. It's not exciting. So we have to, when we're working with our youth in the community, we have to remember that they need a little of excitement and enthusiasm also. Just be careful if you take them to play paintball. In America, you go to play paintball and you say Allahu Akbar and you shoot a blot of paint on somebody, you might be in court next week. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Because they'll swear you're training for the jihad. Astaghfirullah. But there's nothing wrong with that. Alhamdulillah. Take the children on outings that they really enjoy and can benefit from. You can take them on hiking trips. You can take them biking, take them boating, paintball, bowling. There's so many things that we can do with our children aside from just sitting them down and going through the academic discipline of learning, which is necessary. But we have to balance it out so that they will begin to develop the habit of using their time wisely. Take care of your free time before it becomes occupied. Some of our early scholars, mashallah, may Allah have mercy upon them, they showed a tremendous respect for time. Because time is something that is perhaps one of our most precious resources. Time. Allah has given us time. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sworn by the time. Wal asr. Inna al-insana lafi khusr. Allah swears by the time as it passes, as it declines, that every human being, that the human being is lost. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Except those who believe and who follow that faith up with good deeds, who encourage the teaching of truth, join together in giving the da'wah, and who are patient upon that. Allah swears by time. Time is a valuable commodity that is not equivalent to money. I know we've all heard the saying, time is money. You go out into the marketplace, you see salesmen, they say, time is money. No, that's a lie. Time is more than money. It's more valuable, more precious than money. Because you can spend money, lose money, have money stolen from you, give money away, and alhamdulillah, bismillah, it can come back to you. You can earn some more, receive more. But time, you spend time, you can never get it back. It's gone forever. And every single day we're getting closer and closer to the reality, the maqdir, the grave. So take care of our free time before we become occupied. Take care of our life before we die. This is a general summation of the entire hadith, wherein the Prophet ﷺ has reminded us that our entire life, إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُقِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Verily, my prayers and my sacrifice, my life and my death, are all for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord and Cherisher of the worlds. Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that there's nothing between us and Jannah or us and the Nar except the shoelace. Our shoelace. We can go just like that. So, dear brothers and sisters, we should see our children, our youth, as a treasure to whom we owe a tremendous responsibility of raising them to carry this great torch, the torch of Islam, here in the West, here in UK, in America, from where I come. So that inshallah ta'ala we will see generations to come being proud of Islam, being proud to say they are Muslim. We should try to instill in the hearts of our children the love of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For indeed, it is reported by Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده ووالده والناس أجمعين. That none of us truly believe until we love Allah, until we love His Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, more than we love our fathers, more than we love our sons, indeed, more than we love all of mankind. So we have to teach our children to love Allah, to love His Messenger, more than they even love us. Are we willing to sacrifice that, parents? Dads? Abu? Ummi, are you ready to tell them to love Allah and His Messenger more than they love you? Because that means that when we are getting deficient in our obligations, they may come to us and say, Dad, how come you're not going to the masjid? Ummi, how come you're not reading Quran? How come you're not teaching me Quran? How come we don't make salah together at home? How come we don't go to the masjid together? How come we are not going to the Muslim programs together? They may start to question us. What will be our answer? Shut up. Better not say something to me, boy. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. That's right. Some of us abuse our children. But the worst abuse is to deny them the Islamic upbringing that they deserve. That's the greater abuse. Some of us, we send our children to public schools, thinking that their Islamic identity will be preserved, it will be protected. How can our children's Islamic identity, their identity as a Muslim, be preserved if you send them to non-Muslims who could care less what they believe, who for all practical purposes may be homosexuals, gay, teaching your children? It's like leading a sheep to the wolves, letting them stay with the wolf for about 6 hours a day. That sheep going to remain a sheep? Either he will come back a wolf, or he won't come back. And that's a sad situation when we lose our children to this dunya. I come from a state that incarcerates or imprisons more people per capita than any other state in the country. And it's really one of the leading states in the world as far as imprisonment as a solution to crime. Because so many children, they are raised without guidance. And Allah has blessed us with the light, brothers and sisters. We have no excuse not to produce the best from amongst our young minds. So I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the wherewithal, the means to give them the strong Muslim household that they need to grow up, that we will be shining examples for them to love and to appreciate. You know, one of the things that will last when we are no longer here are the dua that we teach our children to pray for us when Allah calls us back. And indeed, one of the characteristics of this, of those who will have the shade of Allah, when there will be no shade, when the sun will be so close to us that we will be up to our ankles in sweat, up to our knees in sweat, up to our necks in the sweat of our bad deeds, is that child who has been raised from the time he was born to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing good deeds throughout his life. MashaAllah ta'ala, making dua for you. Muhammad bin Saleh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, wrote a very good book addressing the problems of our youth. And he divided the youth into three categories. We need to determine which category do our children fall in. Boys and girls, you need to decide which of these groups do you fall in. He said you have the upright youth. We have the upright youth, that youth who is committed to being a Muslim, who loves his Islam, who is devout in his worship of Allah, who is respectful of his parents, who puts himself in the right company and is cautious about who he associates with so that he doesn't get with the wrong company. This is the category of youth that I hope all of our children, inshallah ta'ala, will be in. Ameen. Then you have that group of youth who are corrupt, who are cancer to the ummah, who could care less about Islam, Muslims, who could care less about you. All they're concerned with is what they want. Undisciplined, disrespectful, no limits, has no respect for authority. They are a black eye on the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But we can't give up hope on them. We have to continue to work with them, continue to try to reach them. Sometimes they have to learn the hard way before they come to their senses. And I know a lot of our older brothers, maybe in your 20s, you know what I'm talking about. Because those of you who are second generation Muslims, maybe, just maybe, it was a little difficult for you to really stomach the discipline of your ummi and abi at home. And particularly here in the UK, in London, in the West, there's so much that's designed in the society to make us forget Allah, to distract us. So we start chasing the lights, chasing the amusements of this dunya. And some of us end up getting in trouble. Using intoxicants, using drugs, using alcohol, having unlawful sex, boyfriends and girlfriends. This is something that, boys and girls, you have to know. We've been there, we've done that. One of the advantages of being a revert to Islam is that we know the jahil. For our Muslims who were born Muslim, maybe that's a reason why the revert can appreciate this deen in a way that perhaps you don't know. Because you never knew the jahil until you've come here and you've seen it, but you actually haven't been in it. But for our young boys and girls, you don't have to fall into that same hole that some of us were in before we became Muslim. Because if you fall into it, you may not get out of it. I don't know if any of you have ever visited a prison. It's not a pretty place. I don't want to discourage those of you who want to do prison da'wah, because we need your help. There are brothers and sisters in these prisons that are begging for the light of Islam. They're looking for Islam to come and to correct and improve their lives, because they've tried everything else. But don't wait until your child goes there, because he's cut up in society. He's cut classes or got in with the wrong crowd, smoking reefer, you see, hijacking a car or something. Then now you go into the prison, you run to the imam and say, "Brother Imam, my son is in jail. What should I do?" Get involved now with the prison da'wah and take the children. They need to see that. Take them on a tour. We got a program in the States called Operation Behind Bars. And they actually take the youth on a tour of the prison and let the inmates talk to them. And they'll think twice about acting up. I don't think we have to go to that limit with Muslims and with Muslim children. But we have some hard heads amongst us, I'm sure. Maybe they do need it. But it can be a creative field trip, inshallah. So do all you can, dear brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, to protect your children from becoming that corrupt youth that is an eyesore to our ummah, just following the fads of society. In America, they got a thing now where the young boys, they think nothing of walking down the street with their pants halfway down their thighs. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Y'all got that over here? Y'all got that over here too? Astaghfirullah al-Azim. I thought that was peculiar to America. Then they walk down, they have the leg, you know, the pants leg roll up, one pants leg up and one pants leg down. You know, pull your pants up, boy. You know, don't let them come in the masjid like that. You know, you can talk to them in a respectful way. Believe me, brothers, our children are your children. My child is your child and your child is mine. We have to see all of these children as ours. Don't just wait for the parents to discipline them if they need to be disciplined. Take a loving interest in them when you have the opportunity, when you have the chance. If you see the child doing something wrong, then correct him as you would want your child to be corrected. Sometimes I've seen where Muslims, when they look at another child do something wrong, they come down with a club. But when their child goes off, no one else can talk to them. That's not right. You can correct someone else's child, but when it comes to having your child corrected, you know, You better not say nothing to him or else we might sue the masjid. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. That's ridiculous. All of these children are ours. And we all have to share in the responsibility of raising them up. But we have to do it with kindness and with love. With firmness, but with love. As if they were our own. Because they are. I mean, you may not even be here tomorrow. And your child will be left as an orphan. Then who? It'll be the community, it'll be the jama'ah, it'll be the ummah, the masjid. The last group of children that Sheikh Uthaymeen pointed out is probably that group that most of our children may be inclined to be in, and that is the confused youth. It is that youth that he is wavering between being the upright child and being a corrupt child. Sometimes he's doing good. You think he's an angel. Other times, he's acting up. He's not sure. He's confused. Maybe he's not sure about his faith, what he believes in. Not sure what kind of friends he should be around. And sometimes he makes the wrong choices. Those are the ones, certainly we have a chance to bring them to that group of being upright, the upright youth. But they also stand the risk of becoming corrupt if we don't take care of them. Children are like flowers. They're like plants. And they need to be nurtured. They need to be cultivated. We got to take the weeds out of the garden. Help them to understand what's going on in the world. Why is Islam under the attack that it is? They want to know these things. They need to know. Why are the Muslims angry at the cartoon that's coming out of Denmark? Why are the Muslim women being told to take off their hijab in France? And the list goes on and on. Imam Siraj Wahhaj, many of you know him. Wonderful speaker and da'i from America. Beautiful imam. We love him so much. He can't travel now outside of the country. Because they claim that he is an alleged, quote, alleged, unindicted co-conspirator. You say that enough, pretty soon people are going to believe it. So we have to prepare our youth not only for the good times of Islam, the blessings of Islam, but we also have to prepare them for the hardships that are to come. We have to let them know that Islam was never established without sacrifice and that we may be taken from them in any moment. MashaAllah. I was in Toronto a few months back and had the opportunity to talk to a brother on the phone from prison. He was in the prison when I was talking to him on the phone. And mashallah, it was so beautiful to see his young boys and his wife at this program where we were at, Muslim Inmate Assistance Program. The young boys were no more than maybe 6 or 8. One was 6 and one was 8 when he was arrested. For what? For having the phone number of someone whom he had called to get some advice, some nasiha, about what school he should enroll in. But this person happened to be on their list of investigation, so they arrested him. Now the sons, they don't know where he's at. Well, they know now, but at first they thought that he was dead. One of them thought he was never coming back. This is a terrible tragedy, but we have to prepare our children for that eventuality. We don't know what kind of test Allah may have for us. And we don't want them to face such a test without being prepared. Because sometimes when you go through tests, if your faith is not strong, if you're not deeply rooted in your iman, the shaitan can touch you and make you go crazy, make you leave Islam. And we don't want that to happen to our children, where they leave Islam because we as adult Muslims may have to face some tests and trials that will take us away from them. Allah may cause us to lose our lives and leave our children to be orphans. Will they be prepared to go on as a Muslim, remembering that it is Allah who decrees all calamities? No calamity happens except by the permission of Allah. Are they going to be able to face that trial with the conviction and the strength that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam faced his trials with as an orphan, even before he became Allah's messenger? He didn't let that difficulty of being an orphan cause him to grow up as a knucklehead. Alhamdulillah. He grew up to be the most upright, best of human beings, even though he didn't have a mother and he didn't have a father. And Allah protected him. We have to do what we can now to protect our children for any eventuality. Because you never know when you may not come home to them. Will they be able to carry on the legacy of Islam in your home for you and for your community? So the work starts now, brothers and sisters. In fact, it started yesterday. We need to get busy, inshallah ta'ala. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. I ask Allah's forgiveness. Whatever I may have said, it's been an error. It's from myself. And whatever good has been said, it's from Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَقُولُ قَوِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ وَسُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ وَنَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ وَنَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.